B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Yud Ches. At the end of Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, we learned a Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we saw in the first part of the Mishnah a list of halachas that Beis Shammai were makbid, that a person should not do them on Erev Shabbos unless there's time for the melacha that he's starting to actually get finished before the onset of Shabbos, even though what the person is doing is just a moment and the rest happens automatically. For example, to put the wool into a pot of paint, that just takes a second. But according to Beis Shammai, we're afraid that if the wool cannot absorb enough paint before Shabbos, then even though the painting process continues over Shabbos, maybe a person will then mix the paint, and that will be a melacha of tzoveya. And therefore they said, do not start the melacha before Shabbos unless the painting will be done by Shabbos, before Shabbos comes in. And so too the list of things in the Mishnah. The first one we saw in the Mishnah was Ein Shoirin Dyoi V'Samemonim V'Karshinim Elo Kadei Sheyushuru Mib'oi Dyoim. One may not soak ink, dye, or certain animal foods in hot water, or in water, it doesn't say hot water, in water on Erev Shabbos, unless the whole process of the soaking can get finished before Shabbos sets on. So the first one is putting dyoi, which is ink, in water. The way they would prepare the ink for use is they would take whatever the ink was and soak it in water, and then slowly the ink would absorb, it would get mixed with the water, it would become more liquid and more usable, and that way they would have ink. Says the Gemara, Man tana nesinas mayim lidyoi zuhi shriyosam. What is ink? Ink, for all intents and purposes, is a liquid. Or it's a solid, but it's solid type, but it's not something that you need. It's not like flour and water. You put water into flour, you knead it, and it becomes into a solid mass called a dough. It's something that's going to become a liquid, and it's going to just get mixed and diluted with the water. And the fact that it says here that you're not allowed to do it, according to Beis Shammai, you have to make sure it can finish getting soaked and diluted before Shabbos comes. According to Beis Hillel, they were not concerned and they allowed you to do it. As long as you put the water and the ink together before Shabbos, you're allowed to do it before Shabbos. But on Shabbos, everybody agrees, you're not allowed to do it. So the Gemara is saying, who holds that putting ink with water on Shabbos is a melacha d'oraisa, is chayev? In the event that even on Shabbos it's not a melacha d'oraisa, Beis Shammai would not have made the gzeira to say that you mustn't do it even before Shabbos unless you can finish, unless the ink finishes getting diluted. From the fact that Beis Shammai made a gzeira, don't even start unless it can finish before Shabbos, it must mean that on Shabbos it's a severe melacha. Who holds that mixing ink with water is a melacha on Shabbos? Omar Rav Yosef, Rebbe. This is the opinion of Rebbe. The Tanya we learnt in a brisa. Echod noisein es hakemach ve'echod noisein es hamayim. If one person puts flour, dry flour, into a bowl, and the second person adds water into the flour, or achrin chayev, the one who added water into the flour is chayev. Divrei Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe Yosi Omer. Rebbe Yosi argues and says, Einu chayev ad sheyegabel. You only chayev if you knead the flour and the water. But if you just put the water into the flour, you're not chayev for losh, which is a melacha called kneading. So here too, there's no kneading with the ink. You just put the water with the ink. And that would seem to be similar to just placing and adding the water on top of the flour. And only Rebbe says you're chayev for doing that on Shabbos. Omar le'abaya. Abaya says to Rav Yosef, Vadilma, maybe you, Rav Yosef, said that our Mishnah can only follow Rebbe, but Rabbi Yossi, who holds over there with flour that you're not chayev, he would say that with the ink you're also not chayev because you're not doing a kneading. That's what Rav Yosef suggested. Abaya said no. Abaya said it could be that Rabbi Yossi is only arguing with Rebbe in the case of the flour, but over here he would agree that you are chayev even though you're not kneading. Ad kan loy ko'omar Rabbi Yossi. When did Rabbi Yossi say that you're not chayev for adding water to the flour. Elo bekemach, that's only regarding flour. Debar gibulhu, flour is a kneadable substance, and since the way you do kneading with flour is by actually kneading the water with the flour, just putting the water onto the flour is not called kneading. Aval dyoi, but in the case of the ink, delav bar gibulhu, where you never knead the ink, it's not a substance that you're able to knead. It could be, even Rabbi Yossi will agree, that this is parallel and compared to kneading with flour, this is kneading with joy, with ink. And therefore, even Rabbi Yossi would agree that you're chayev. Says the Gemara, lo yisol kadaitoch. No, do not suggest that. According to Rabbi Yossi, who says that putting water onto flour on Shabbos, you're not chayev, will say the same here, that putting water with the ink will not be chayev. And therefore our Mishnah would have to be Rebbe. D'tanya, Echod noisin es ha'efer. If one person puts ashes into a vessel, ve'echod noisin es ha'mayim, and somebody else adds water to the ashes, ho'achrin chayev, the second one is going to be chayev. Divir Rebbe. That's the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe Yossi ber Yehuda oimer, ad sheyegabel. Rebbe Yossi ber Yehuda says that you're not chayev until you do kneading. And since you cannot knead ashes, therefore he's not going to be chayev. Ashes is not like flour and not like earth that you can knead it into a mush, into a solid. It just mixes with the water. It doesn't actually cause the particles to stick to each other. And so we see there clearly that afer, which is more similar to the ink, where you do not do kneading, and nonetheless Rabbi Yossi holds, you're not chayev unless there's gibul, and there's no gibul there. Says the Gemara of Adilma, my Afer offer. Maybe in that Brisa, even though it uses the word Afer, which is ashes, maybe it means offer, which is earth. Debar Gibulhu. We find in places that earth and ashes, sometimes the terms get used with each other. And therefore, since maybe the Brisa means earth, earth is clearly a kneadable substance. Says the Gemara Votanya, Afer Votanya Ofor. We actually saw two brises. In one it says explicitly Ofor, in the other one it says Afer. So we're not borrowing the term of Afer of ashes for earth. It's clear that this halacha is true also with earth, also with ashes. In which case we can assume that Rabbi Yossi holds that since you did not do kneading, you're not going to be chayev, and same with our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Midi Gabe Adodi Tanya. The two brises were written next to each other and at the same time that you can assume that Afer means Afer and Ofer means Ofer. Maybe Ofer means Ofer, which is earth, and Afer means Afer, which also means earth, and in both, by just adding water, you're not Chayev. And in the case of our Mishnah, where there's no kneading, where it's similar to the Afer, it could be that it's similar to ashes, which we would not have such a brisa for, and then maybe even Rabbi Yossi would agree that in our Mishnah he would be chayev. So in the end of the sugya, we don't have clarity on that. The Mishnah could be going according to Rebbe, and it, according to what the Gemara said so far, it definitely is Rebbe, who Rebbe says that just adding the water to the flour is already chayev, and it's not clear whether Rabbi Yossi would agree in the case of our Mishnah that since you do not do kneading afterwards, you're already chayev for kneading by adding the water to the ink. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. We learnt in a brisa, poiskin mayim legino erev Shabbos im chasheicha. If there was a source of water, a river, a stream, or any other source of water, you're allowed to open up a little entranceway, a little opening between the source of the water and the person's field, and you're allowed to do that on Erev Shabbos, any time before Shabbos, and umismalis voileches kolayim kuloi, and the water will then overflow from the stream into the field right through Shabbos. You're not doing a melacha. The melacha would be to create the opening. You're doing that before Shabbos. Now that the opening has been made, the water is allowed to flow freely through Shabbos. That's one halacha in the Braisa, that regarding opening, making an opening for a gino, for a field, on Erev Shabbos is mutter. Another halacha, umanichin mugmor tachas akelim, one is allowed to spread incense on top of some coals under some clothes, umizgamrin vohilchin kolayim kuloy. And as long as you put the incense on the coals before Shabbos, then even though the coals are cooking or burning or whatever it's doing to the incense, it's causing the incense to give off a nice smell onto the clothes, and that's happening right through Shabbos. As long as you put the incense onto the coals before Shabbos, it's okay. That's the case of mugmer. Umanichin gofris, one is allowed to put sulfur. Tachas hakelim, you can spread some sulfur onto the on or over the coals, and the coals will burn the sulfur, it will evaporate, and the black steam or whatever it's going to be of the sulfur is going to go into the grooves on a nicely carved silver dish, and that way in the carves there'll be some black sulfur will enter into the grooves, and that way the engraving will have a nice effect. As long as you put the sulfur onto the coals before Shabbos, it doesn't matter that this process continues through Shabbos. That was the third halacha. The fourth halacha, umanichin kiloyer al gabe ha'ayin, one's allowed to put some type of medicated eye wash on a person's eye before Shabbos, vas pelonis, or a bandage al gabe maka on a person's wound before Shabbos, even though one is not allowed to engage in medicine and in refuah and healing on Shabbos, as long as you put it on before Shabbos, umisrapas veileches kolayim kuloy, it doesn't matter that the effect of this eye wash or the bandage takes place over through Shabbos. So these are a few halachos that are mutar to do them before Shabbos. Aval ein noisnin chitin netoich harechaim shel maim, you're not allowed to put wheat into a water mill, a type of mill that was going to grind the wheat, and the way it would get grinded is a mill that will typically work with using water. And I'm sure you've all seen diagrams of how a water mill works. The water pushes on some plates or on some boards, and that makes the mill turn round, and in turn it makes the millstones turn round and grind the wheat. As far as the mill is concerned, you're only allowed to put wheat in such a water mill on condition that the wheat will be ground and will be finished being ground before the onset of Shabbos. You're not allowed to put the wheat there just moments before Shabbos and let the mill continue the grinding on its own through Shabbos. And this we have to understand. In the Reisha we had Poiskin Maim, we had Mugmar, Gofris, and then we had Kiloyer and Aspelonis. All of those are Muta. And it comes to the mill, there it's Osa. We have to understand what's going on here. Says the Gemara, Mai Tama Omar Rabba, what's the reason that you're not allowed to put the wheat into the mill? Rabba says, Mepnei Hashmo Shem Mashmas Koil. Since the mill, whilst it's grinding, it makes a noise, and doing a malacha, even if you're not doing it, but if something in your property is doing a malacha, something that had you been doing it, it would be a malacha on Shabbos, and now you're not doing it, but it's happening on its own, but it's making a noise, everybody's aware that it's happening, it's a bizayon for Shabbos, it's called av shamilsehi, we take into account the fact that it's making a noise, and therefore, it's not allowed to happen on Shabbos. Omelir Rav Yosef says to Rabba, "V'dilma mar mishum shvisas kelim." Maybe the reason it's asa is not because of av shamilsa, because it's making a noise and it's not covered for Shabbos, that a melacha should be being done making such a noise on Shabbos. Maybe it's because of shvisas kelim. We know that a person has got a chiyuv, and it's a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, "Uvechol asher amart aleichem tishameru." That even your kelim, and we have to see what that means, but not only do you have to keep Shabbos, you have to make sure that your vessels, your objects, also keep Shabbos. The Tanya we learnt in the Braisa, uvechol asher amarti aleichem tishameru. Why does it say that in the Pasuk? L'rabbo is shvisas kelim, to tell us that not only do you have to keep Shabbos, but your objects also have to keep Shabbos. So you see that there is a concept called shvisas kelim. Since this mill belongs to you, your mill is not allowed to be grinding on Shabbos. It's also to grind on Shabbos. So why do you, Rabbi, say the reason is because of Hashmoas Koil, because of the noise? Maybe it's because of Shvisas Kelim. Elomer Rav Yosef, so therefore Rav Yosef argues with Rabbah and says Mishum Shvisas Kelim, that this Braiso who says you're not allowed to put the wheat into the mill unless the mill finishes grinding before Shabbos, holds that the Issa is Shvisas Kelim. Continues the Gemara, V'hashtu de Omras lebis Hillel, Islahu Shvisas Kelim, we assume that this Braiso is Bis Hillel, because all the things that are Mutter at the beginning of the Braiso, that seems to be following Bis Hillel in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, that Bis Hillel allowed you to do Melochus just before Shabbos comes in, and allow the Meloch to happen on Shabbos. And Bis Shammai in the Mishnah said, you have to make sure that the Melochus could get finished before Shabbos. In the whole Reisha, at the beginning of this Braisa, Poiskin Mayim, Manichin Mugmor, Manichin Gofris, Manichin Kiler and Aspelinis, all these cases, it says explicitly, you're allowed to put them on just before Shabbos and allow the Melochus to happen on Shabbos. That seems to be following Bis Hillel. So we see, and nonetheless, it says at the end of the Braisa that you're not allowed to put the wheat into the mill. So you see that Bis Hillel holds of this concept, of this Issa, of this halacha called Shvisas Kelim. Shvisas Kelim Doiraisa. Since you're not, if Shvisas Kelim would only be Midrabanon, then it would just be an Issa. You're not allowed to make your objects do a malacha on Shabbos. The fact that Bis Hillel says you're not allowed to even get the mill to start grinding before Shabbos would seem that if you would do it on Shabbos, it would be a melacha d'iraisa. It would be an issa d'iraisa. So asks the Gemara, Gofris umugmor maita mashori. We said that you're allowed to put the incense and the sulfur on the coals before Shabbos, and they were allowed to continue doing the melacha on Shabbos. Why is there no issue of shvisas kelim? Maita mashoru, why is it muta? Says the Gemara, mishum d'le'ovit maisa. The container, the pot, or whatever's holding the incense or the sulfur, is not doing anything. It's just static. It's passive. It's just sitting there with the sulfur inside or with the incense inside. The fire or the coal is burning underneath it, and the smell or the sulfur is just raising up on its own. Since the object is not doing anything, it's not a contradiction to the issa of Shvisas Kelim. Asks the Gemara, Unin shel pishton mai tama sharu. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis that according to Bis Hillel, one is allowed to put the bundles of flax into the oven even just moments before Shabbos, even though the heating process is going to take place on Shabbos. Why over there, when the oven is heating up the flax, why is it muta? Says the Gemara, Mishum Deleovid Maisa, Meinach Naich. There too, you just put the flax into the oven, and it's just sitting there. The oven is not doing anything that's a melacha on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, Metzudas Chaya V'oif V'dogim. We saw again in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, according to Beis Hillel, one is allowed to put a trap of a wild animal, a chaya or a bird or fish, just before Shabbos, even though the animals will get trapped on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, the Ka'ovid Maisa. How does a trap work? The animal goes over the trap, and then he pushes a stick or he pushes something away, a string or however the trap works, and then the trap actually closes down onto the animal. That act of closing down onto the animal is an act of trapping. And your trap, which is your kleep, it's an object that belongs to you, is doing this melach on Shabbos. Why is that muta according to Bis Hillel? Maita mashoru, why is it muta? Says the Gemara, Hosom nami belechi v'kukri de le k'ovid maisa. There too, we're talking about a type of trap, not that the animal gets caught in it and causes the trap to close in on its prey. No, it's talking about a type of trap where the animal catches itself into it. For example, with the fish, it could be that there's just a row of hooks, and it's not that the fish go in and that causes the trap to close on itself. It's just the fish bites on the hook and just gets caught, but the hook itself is not doing anything. Or if there's a basket, special types of baskets where the fish go into the wide end and they push their heads out of a narrow end at the end of it, and then just by default they can't fly back, they can't swim backwards and they just get caught in the net. But the net itself has not done an act, has not done any action that's trapping or doing a melacha. So loika ovid maisa, if the traps did not do any action, so there's no issa of shvisas kelim. So this was the opinion of Rabbah, that the Mishnah, the Braisa we saw here, is Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel, who's in the Sefer, holds that there's an issa of shvisas kelim, which is why you're not allowed to put the wheat into the mill. We're going to see now from Rav Asi another mahalach. V'hashta do Omar Rav Oishia Omar Rav Asi. Man tana shvisas kelim do iraisa Beis Shamayhi, v'loi Beis Hillel. Rav Asi holds that this Braisa that says that you're not allowed to put the wheat into the mill before Shabbos, unless it can finish grinding on Shabbos, because of Shvisas Kelim, is actually the opinion of Beis Shammai, not the opinion of Beis Hillel. And this would explain the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, that the reason that Beis Shammai was Machmir at the beginning of the Mishnah, not to do all those things that it says there in the Mishnah, whether it's soaking of the ink and the animal food and the dyes and everything else we saw there in the Mishnah, that's because of Shvisas Kelim. Beis Shammai hivaloi Beis Hillel. Le Beis Shammai bein ka'ovid ma'isa bein teloi ka'ovid ma'isa osur. And Beis Shammai hold that Shvisas Kelim is osur, even if you're not doing any melacha, which would explain the Mishnah, even though soaking the ink and soaking the dyes, you're not doing any melacha, nonetheless it's osur. Why? Shvisas kelim, you put the ink into your keli, since the melocha is happening in a kli, even though the kli is not doing anything, it's also for shvisas kelim, according to Beis Shammai. Le Beis Hillel, afal gavda ka'ovid ma'isa shari. And if so, according to Beis Hillel, we have no source whatsoever that there's a concept of shvisas kelim. Even if your vessel, your object, is doing a melocha mamash, like the mill, for example, on Shabbos, it's muta. There's no issa of shvisas kelim according to Beis Hillel. V'hashto de omras de le Beis Shammai, afal gav de le'ovid ma'isa osor. If so, if we assume that according to Beis Shammai there's an issa of shvisas kelim, even if the kelim are not doing any melacha, now we have to understand the braisa we learned here on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Ihochi mugmar in the case of the incense, the gofris, and the case of the sulfur, ma'itama sharu Beis Shammai. We're now saying that this price is Beis Shammai. Why do Beis Shammai say you're allowed to put the incense and the sulfur on the coals immediately before Shabbos and let the melacha happen on its own? According to Beis Shammai, it should be osa for shvisas kelim. Ma'itama sharu Beis Shammai, says the Gemara, hosa monach ha'ara. The price that says you're allowed to put the mugmar and the gofris onto the coals, it's talking about that you've put them on the floor. They're not in an oven. They're not being held by one of your kelim. Since there's no keli there, there's no issa of shvisas kelim. Ask the Gemara, gigis, a barrel, veneer, a candle, kadera, a pot, v'shpud, a spit. And we know that these cases Rashi brings where this is mutar, but in all these cases we find that one is allowed to set a melacha to start just before Shabbos and the melacha carries on its own. For example, a neir, you're allowed to light a candle just before Shabbos. There's no condition the candle has to be finished and extinguished before Shabbos comes in. The fire is also on Shabbos, etc. My tam ashoru Beis Shammai, why are these mutar even according to Beis Shammai? Says the Gemara, de mifkar lu afkure, their only mutter is talking about a case where he is mafkir. He says, it's hefka, I'm not anymore the owner of not the barrel, and not the candle, and not the pot, and not the spit. It's not mine. If it's not mine, then if it's halachically rendered hefka, then there's no issa of shvisas kelim. Continues the Gemara. Man tana lahod ton rabbonon. Who is the tana who holds of the following braisa? The ton rabbonon loy temale Isha kedeiro asosiyos v'turmesin v'taniach l'toich hatanur erev Shabbos imchasheicha. It is forbidden, a woman is not allowed to put different types of beans into the oven on erev Shabbos, just before Shabbos comes in, to allow them to cook or to bake on their own. V'imnosnon, and if she did put them in the oven, you're not allowed to have any benefit from this, and therefore l'moitze Shabbos asurin, even after Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from them, b'kdeisha yasu k'yotze boy, unless you wait the amount of time it takes to bake or to cook these beans, In that way, you've not gained anything by the fact that the melacha was done on Shabbos. Another halacha, lo yemale nachtoim, a baker is not allowed to fill chovyas shel mayim, a big pot of water, v'yaniach l'toich hatanur, and to put it into the oven, erev Shabbos im chashecha, just before the onset of Shabbos, v'im also kein, and if he did do it, l'moitza Shabbos asurin, b'gdei sheyasu. Here too, you're not allowed to have any benefit from the fact that the water got cooked on Shabbos, so you're only allowed to use the water if you wait long enough after Shabbos that you could have heated up the water on Motzah Shabbos. That's the end of the Braisa. So who's this going according to? Leima Beis Shammai hivalei Beis Hillel. Let's say that it's Beis Shammai and not Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai who say there's an Issa of Shvisas Kelim, even if they didn't do anything on Shabbos. And so let's say it's Beis Shammai. Says the Gemara, afilu teima Beis Hillel. It could be it's Beis Hillel. And it's not because of Shvisas Kelim. We say that according to how we're learning now, Beis Hillel don't hold that there's an Issa of Shvisas Kelim. It's also Gzeira Shema Yechate Begecholim. We're afraid that since you want to heat up the water, and water is typically heated up on a lower flame, and in order to speed up the cooking process, you might stoke the coals. And that's severely also on Shabbos. You'll be doing Bishul. You'll be a melacha of cooking. In order that a person should not come to Chas V'Shalom, stoke the coals in the oven, under the pot. Therefore, we said you're not allowed to do this. You're only allowed to put it on Erev Shabbos if it can get fully cooked or cooked enough that you will not come to stoke it before Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, Ihochi, now that you've introduced to us a new gezeira of Shema Yechate Begacholim, you're not allowed to put anything on the fire before Shabbos, if the process that needs to be done on the fire is happening on Shabbos, because you might stoke the flames. If so, Mugmar v'gofris, we saw in the Braisa on Daf Yud Zayin Omud Bey, Daf Yud Ches Omud Aleph, that regarding the incense and the sulfur, you are allowed to put them on the coals before Shabbos, and allow the melacha to happen on its own on Shabbos. Why are we not worried? Nami Ligzer. Why are we not afraid of Shema Yechate Begacholim? And it's true that we're now following the opinion that Braisa is Beis Shammai, but there's no reason to believe that Beis Shammai argue with the Gezeira of Shema Yechate Begacholim. Says the Gemara, Hosam Loi Mochsiluhu. Over there we can assume that a person will not stoke the coals. Di Mochsi, because if he does stoke the coals, Solik Buhu Kutra, some smoke will come up from the coals. Vekoshiluhu. And it will be bad for the clothes that are trying to get a good smell from the incense, or the silver vessels that you're trying to sulfurate, they will get ruined with the smoke, and therefore we assume that you won't touch the coals. Ask the Gemara, Unin shel pishton nami ligzer. In the case of the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, that according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to put bundles of flax into the oven on Shabbos, why don't we say that you might stoke the coals? Hosam kiven de koshilu zika loy megalu le. Over there, since wind, any type of breeze, is very bad for the heating process of the bundles of flax, therefore we assume that you will not open the oven, you'll not expose the coals and whatever's inside the oven in any way. And therefore you won't stoke the coals, and therefore it's mutter. Ask the Gemara, Tzemer l'yoyra ligzer. If so, why in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis did we see that you're allowed to put wool into the pot of paints? Why are you not worried that you're going to stoke the coals? Omar Shmuel b'yoyra akura, we're talking about that the pot is no longer on the coals. Ask the Gemara, v'necha shem omegispo. Even a pot that's not on the coals, since it's a clear ishoin and it's very hot, just mixing the paints should also be also. It's a new type of gzeira. In the same way as you're worried and you're choishish that you might stoke the coals, you might mix what's inside the pot. Says the Gemara, ba'akura v'tucha. Not only is this pot off the fire, it's also that the lid covering the pot is sealed. And since it's sealed, in order to stir the wool inside it, you'd have to break the seal. And that's a very bothersome thing to do, and by the time you finish doing that, you'll remember, just a moment, it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to mix the paint, and therefore he won't come to mix the wool. Continues the Gemara, V'hashta de Omar Mar. Now that you've introduced to us Gezeirah Shema Yechate Begecholim, you're not allowed to have anything over the coals if the process of heating, baking, cooking, whatever it's going to be, is not yet finished before Shabbos comes in. It's Asa because you might stoke the coals. So the halachas go as follows. Hai Kadeira Chaisa. If you have a pot of raw food that you put on just before Shabbos comes in, Shori la'anuche erev Shabbos im chasheicha betanura, you're allowed to put this pot into the oven over the coals just moments before Shabbos. Mai tama, we're not worried you're going to stoke the coals. Kiven deleichozi l'urta, since there's no chance in the world that this raw food is going to be cooked for Friday night, for the evening meal, and he's only putting it there in order to use it many, many hours later for the day meal, he diverts his attention, he forgets about that pot altogether, and he's not going to come and stoke the coals. The only reason a person will stoke the coals is to speed up the cooking process. He has no need to speed it up. It's not going to be ready for tonight's meal anyway. By tomorrow, there's plenty time for the cooking to be finished. Uboshil, if the food you're putting in the oven is fully cooked, shapir domi, there's no problem, you're not going to stoke the coals because it's already been fully cooked. Boshil v'loy boshil, if it's semi-cooked, only partially cooked, there we have an issue. Osur, you're not allowed to put it in the oven, on the fire, on the gas, just before Shabbos comes in. V'ishoda bogar mechaya, but if you put inside it a piece of meat or a bone which is raw, then shapir domi, then it's okay, because that would be a sign that you don't intend to use this food till the morning, even though the food itself is semi-cooked, and by stoking the flame, by stoking the coals, it would be ready for the night meal. But nonetheless, since you put in this meat or this bone that's raw, which means that it's clear that you're not intending to use this food for tonight, for Friday night, you're only going to use it on Shabbos in the day, therefore you're not going to stoke the coals because you're not pressurized for time, and therefore there's no gezeirah of Shema Yechate Begecholim, and you're allowed to put it on the fire just before the onset of Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, V'hashta de'omar mar, kol midi de'koshu le'zika, lo'y megalu le'y, now that you've told us that in a situation where exposing the oven and the breeze or the wind will come in, will damage the cooking process, will not be good for the process you're trying to do, then we're not worried you're going to open up the oven, and therefore we're not concerned that you're going to stoke the coals. Therefore, hai bisra de gadya, in the case where you're trying to fry or to cook some, or to roast some tender kid meat, v'shorik, and besides for the fact that this tender meat will get affected by opening up the oven, besides for that v'shorik, the entrance to the oven is sealed, and therefore even if you wanted to open it up in order to stoke it, you would remember it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to open it, you're not allowed to stoke the coals. Shapir domi, you're allowed to put such meat into the oven on just before Shabbos and allow it to cook on Shabbos. The barcho v'loy shorik, however, if the meat is a ram, adult ram meat, which does not get bothered by the wind or the breeze coming into the oven, and v'loy shorik, the door, the entrance to the oven is not sealed, also, in that case, it's also because you may open it on Shabbos and you may stoke the coals. De gadya v'loy shorik, de barcho v'shorik, if in any case where you have one of the two advantages, either it's gadya, which means it's a type of meat that the wind would hurt, it would damage the process, v'loy shorik, but the door of the oven is not locked, or the barcho, it's a type of meat that would not get damaged from the wind, but v'shorik, the door is locked. In that case, where you only have one positive fact here keeping you away from stoking the coals, it's a machlekes. Rav Ashi says it's mutter, since you have at least one thing keeping you away from stoking the coals. Rav Yirmiyah medifta asur. Rav Yirmiyah from Difti says it's asur unless you have two precautions. One is that the meat would get hurt by opening the oven, and two, that the oven is sealed. Asks the Gemara, Ul Rav Ashi the Shori, according to Rav Ashi, who says that it's mutter. V'otanya, we learnt in the Mishnah, Ein tzoylin basar, botzel, ubeitza, you're not allowed to roast meat or an onion or an egg. Elo kadesh yitzulu mib'oid yoim. When putting it in, you're only allowed to put it into the oven if it will be finished being roasted before the onset of Shabbos. What's that talking about? Hosam de barcha, the basar we're talking about there, is talking about adult ram meat. V'lei shorik. And the oven is not closed. And we said that since you have two disadvantages there, also that the meat does not get harmed by the wind, and also that there's no seal, then even according to Rav Ashi, it's asa. So the braisa that says that the meat has to be finished being cooked before Shabbos comes in must be talking about that case. Ikud Omra. There's another version of this machlekas which is going to make things a little bit more complicated. De gadya bein shorik bein loy shorik shapir domi. In this new version of this braisa, of these halachas, if it's meat which would get affected by the wind, it's always muta. The very fact that the wind or the breeze will affect the process of the cooking or the frying is enough to deter you from stoking the coals. De barcha, if it's meat, ram's meat, nami, even if it's thick, good meat, which does not get ruined from the breeze, v'shorik, but the door of the oven is sealed, shapir domi, it's also muta, because the fact that it's sealed will act as a deterrent that you should not stoke the coals. Ki pligi, what's the machlekas? When you have two disadvantages, de barcha, if it's meat that does not get ruined from the wind, v'loy shorik, and the entrance of the oven is not sealed, then it's a machlekas. De Rav Ashi shori, Rav Ashi says, even then, it's mutar. V'rav Yirmi Medifta Osir. V'Yirmi Medifta says that it's Osir. And then Rav Ashi, it would seem, is totally disregarding the concept of Shemo Yechate B'Gecholim. Because over there, you do not have the case of... You don't have the advantage that the wind... The Kol Midi D'Koshele Zika Lo Megalile. And it's the fire that there's no seal on the oven. So why should it be mutter? You might come to stoke the flames. So you see that according to Rav Ashi, he's not concerned about stoking the flames. And Tosfos comes to town on this a little bit, whether even Rav Ashi sometimes agrees. But let's continue. Now the Gemara is asking, Ulu Rav Ashi Deshori, according to Rav Ashi, who says that it's mutter in all cases. Vatanya, how are we going to explain that Mishnah we just mentioned? Ain't tzeilin, you're not allowed to roast. Basar, botzel, or beitza, either meat, an onion, or an egg. Elokadeshi tzeilu mibayjem. It must be that it's finished being roasted by the onset of Shabbos. According to Rav Ashi, why should that be true? You can put it in just moments before Shabbos. And we're not worried. He doesn't agree that you're worried that you might come to stoke the flame. Says the Gemara, Hosom bebisra agumra. Over there, even Rav Ashi will agree that there's a concept of Shemo Yechate. We're talking about where the coals are not even in an oven. You don't even have to open the oven door. It's just coals lying in the open, and you've put the meat on top of it to roast. Agumri means totally exposed coals, and since the coals are totally exposed, in that case, Rav Ashi will agree that there's a chashash, we're concerned, you might stoke the coals. Continues the Gemara, Omer Avina, Hai kora chaya. Kora, a type of vegetable, squash possibly, which is raw. Shapir domi, you're allowed to put it into the oven just moments before Shabbos, even though it's going to get cooked or baked or roasted over Shabbos. Kiven de koshile zika kabisra de gadya domi. Since it's a very sensitive vegetable, and if you open it up and the wind, the breeze, will come into the oven whilst it's cooking, it will disturb it, it won't be good for it. Therefore, that will act as a deterrent in the same way as bisra de gadya, in the same way as the tender kid meat we spoke about before, and therefore it's mutter. Beis Shammai Oimrim Ein Moichrin. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis that according to Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to sell Ein Moichrin Lenochri, you're not allowed to sell something to a goy, Vein Ternin Imo, you're not allowed to help him load up a donkey, Vein Magbin Olov, you're not allowed to place a load onto the back of this Nochri, Ela Kodeshi Agia Lemochim Koriv, unless he can get to a close by destination by the onset of Shabbos. That's Beis Shammai, or Beis Hillel Matirin, Beis Hillel say it's mutter. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanon, we learned in a brisa. Bis Shammai Oimrim lo yimkoir odom cheftzoi lenochri. A person should not sell an object to a goy. V'lo yash ilenu, you shouldn't lend it to him. V'lo yilavenu, you should not lend it to him. The difference between shaila and halva is shaila is you lend him something and you expect to get the very same object back. Halva is you lend it to him and you expect him to replace the object. V'lo yitein loy b'matana, nor are you allowed to give an object as a gift to a nochri, to a goy. Elo k'dei sheyagia lebeisoy, it's only muta if he can get to his home before the onset of Shabbos. Now, even though this goy is carrying this object for his own sake, he's not doing it for me, Rashi explains, since it was yours and people knew it was yours, it would look mechlaf bishluchoy. People who see would think that you've made the goy a shliach on your behalf to take an object on Shabbos and take it to another city, which is Asa. He's going through a Rishus HaRabim, he's maybe taking it from one Rishus to another, and therefore, since, and you're certainly not allowed to make a shliach on your behalf to do a malacha on Shabbos, since people would get confused, it's Asa, you have to make sure the goy could get to his house before Shabbos. If you have enough time that he could get to his destination before Shabbos, people won't assume that he's been made a shliach by you to do a malacha on Shabbos. Bishilil say it's enough, as long as he can get to the first home in the city where he lives, it's enough. And Rashi explains that for all intents and purposes, he could put it down there. Nobody told him to take it into the city. The fact that he's taking it into the city, he's doing that on his own accord, and therefore it's muta. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva argues and says, "Kedei sheyetze mipesach beisoy." It's enough as long as the goy could leave the home of the Yisrael, could just exit his home before the onset of Shabbos, it's already enough that people will not assume that he's made him a shliach of the Yisrael to do a melacha on Shabbos. Omer b'yesi b'Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Hein hein divrei Rabbi Akiva, hein hein divrei Bis Hillel." Rabbi Akiva was not actually arguing with Bis Hillel. He was actually saying, "Leibor Rabbi Akiva elo lefarish divrei Bis Hillel." It was not clear amongst the Talmidim what Bis Hillel actually held. The Tanakama assumed that Bis Hillel say you're not allowed to give it to the goy unless he can reach the first home in the town of his destination before Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva said, no, that's not what Bis Hillel held. Bis Hillel held that you have to give it to the goy early enough that he could leave your home before the onset of Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbonon, Bis Shammai Oimrim lo yimkir odom chemtzoy lenochri, a person is not allowed to sell his chometz to a goy. We're obviously talking about before Pesach. Yisrael is not allowed to have chometz on Pesach. And you sell it to a goy, you're only allowed to sell it to a goy. Elohim ken yodea boy sheichal lekoidim ha-pesach. Divrei Bis Shammai. Bis Shammai say you have to give it to the goy only if you can assume that he's going to finish eating the chometz before the onset of Pesach. And Rashi says, because you have a responsibility to make sure that your chometz gets destroyed from the world. And since it's so close to Pesach and this responsibility is already incumbent upon you, you're not allowed to give it to the goy unless the goy himself is going to get rid of it before the onset of Pesach. Or Bis Hillel Oimrim, Bis Hillel say no. Kol zman shemuta la'oichlei muta la'moichrei. The main thing is that it's not in your rishus on Pesach, and that you don't have any hanor from Pesach when it's also to have hanor. If you're allowed to eat the chometz, you're also allowed to sell it to a goy. As long as you sell it to the goy in a time that it's still muta for you to eat the chometz, it's enough. Rabbi Yehuda says, kutach habavli, v'kol minei kutach, any type of kutach, which is a type of dip, which is chometz, also limkor shloishim yom kodim ha-pesach, you're not allowed to sell it to a goy within 30 days before Pesach, because we assume that since it's just a dip and you only eat a very little bit of it at a time, we assume that it's going to be left over. It's going to take more than 30 days to finish it off, and therefore you're not allowed to sell it to a goy so close to Pesach. Rashi and Psochim Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis lands that this din of Rabbi Yehuda is actually following Beis Shammai. Since Beis Shammai say you're only allowed to sell it to a goy if it's going to get finished before Pesach, Therefore, Kutach, that we assume will not be finished before Pesach, you're not allowed to sell to a goy 30 days before Pesach. In Mirtz Hashem, in our next year, we'll continue from here.